for us tonight, and so you folks come and sing for us at this time. I believe it's our first time to sing here. Well, they sang before, back before they were members, so it's a big blessing to hear them tonight. God bless you, Mike. That dunghill we came out of. Amen. Sure. The one who resides on high reached down low, didn't he? No doubt about it. That's wonderful. Well, it's funny topic for a message tonight. I want to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 for just a few minutes here. And I promise you, this is not lengthy. But I've had a thought in my heart for a few days. And I want to give you just this is more of a devotion rather than a message. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and I want to read the first three verses of this chapter. Solomon writing here, and he says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if you found it there, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north. In the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. And that's what's kind of been on my heart, believe it or not, the last phrase of verse number 3. if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. And so I want to speak tonight on the subject, which way is the tree? Which way is the tree leaning? Which way is the tree leaning? The tree is going to fall the direction it's leaning. When it falls, it's done. There it is. It's always going to fall the direction it's leaning. So my subject matter tonight, which way is the tree leaning? And let's pray. Dear Father, my heart's full of gratitude for all the blessings of the 39 years You've given this ministry, the past 18 here, Lord. And God, my heart is full of vision and desire to see this place finish out its course right. And I pray that You'll help me tonight, Lord. We want to be true to You. We want to be full of grace and truth. We want to be compassionate, reaching out to the multitudes in this area who are without Christ and even beyond this area to the world through missionary efforts. And yet at the same time, Lord, we want to always honor truth and take the right stand and have that balance that pleases You. Help me tonight in these few moments with these simple thoughts and just bless this church ministry. You've cared for it, Lord. You've watched over it now. For 39 years, it's Yours. It's not mine. It's not the people who sit in this room. It's not been any pastors before me. It's Your work. We want it to be right for Your glory and Your honor. So help me tonight, please. These thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes is a book about life lived under the sun. It's what Solomon, who is the human pen here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote about life lived under the sun. Basically, he summed it up that life lived under the sun for the things of this life is just vanity. It's empty. It's vain. In this chapter, Solomon is encouraging people to be generous to others. And I'm going to skip over the encouragements to generosity that are found in verses 1 and 2. Verse number 1 is a very familiar verse to you. Cast thy bread upon the waters, and for thou shalt find it after many days. Verse 2, again, a statement about being generous. And I want to go right to an interesting statement he makes in verse number 3. If the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Where the tree falls, that's where it lies. Now, he's talking here about the subject of giving. Have you ever given to someone and then worried about whether you should have given to them or not? Or even regretted it? And thought to yourself, my goodness, what did I do that for? I have no idea what they're going to do with that money. Yesterday we were on the activity that our class won for the spring program. And we had tremendous time. And we were coming up Highway 50. We went to Monocle's and we had some pizza and salad stuff. And we went down to the bowling lanes and we bowled down there. Now I know what some of these folks do in their spare time. Amen. And Adrian takes the honors, 201, and did a good job down there. And we had a good time bowling. And then we were coming up 50 to go to Oberweis, which was, in my opinion, the best part of the whole trip, you know. And so we're coming to Oberweis. Here's a guy on the street corner over here. He's got a sign, stranded, need food and gas. It was absolutely lettered immaculately. It's like he put it out in his living room the morning, you know, yesterday morning. He shadowed the letters. I mean, it was immaculate. Stranded. need money for food and gas. He's got a big truck over there, you know. And I don't know, you know, how much the guy collected. I think somebody said they gave him a little something, you know, with a gospel track. And then he went over to the truck and he had an envelope. And he probably made more than you guys that had to work yesterday standing on the street corner. And, you know, I've given to a lot of people over the years. I've heard all kinds of stories, people that stop by here. I've heard the craziest things you can imagine coming from people's lips about why they need a handout. And everybody's a reverend. Everybody's a reverend. And if I can just get back to my church, we'll reimburse you. These invisible churches, they haven't sent us a dime in all these. And I remember the guy that came in the derby. He had a black derby on. And when I told him, no, we didn't have anything to help him, he just started cussing the blue streak in front of the ladies in the office and everything. Just started cussing us out. And, it's just crazy. You hear it all the time. They come from the interstate. And I have given, and I thought to myself afterwards, that was dumb. And sometimes you just give, you know, look, here's a $5 bill. Go on, you know. And if you witness to them, they all get saved. They've been saved umpteen times, because every time they get a handout, they get saved, you know. I've given to people, and I thought to myself, that was dumb, and you should never have done that. But you know what Solomon was saying here is, look, where the tree falls is where it lies. You give with an honest and a sincere heart, and let it go at that. If you give it as unto the Lord, God knows that. He takes care of it. Wherever the tree falls, that's where it lies. The tree falls, and that's where it lies. Now, before the tree falls, that's the context of the passage. Let me deviate from the context using the illustration or thought of the tree falling, and where it falls, that's where it lies. And let me say again that the tree falls the direction that it leans. If a tree is left to itself, it will fall the direction it's leaning. Have you ever topped a tree? Have you ever cut a tree down and had to put ropes around it and straps around it and pull it another direction because it was leaning away you didn't want it to fall? Because that's the direction it's going to fall. And if it's left to itself, just to fall, whatever direction the tree is leaning, that's how it's going to fall. When it falls, that's where it's going to lie. And whatever direction that tree is slanted, if you will, is how it falls. And once it falls, that's where it lies. Now, let me make a church application for Faith Baptist Church tonight. 18 years ago, I came to this church. Not this room, but this church. First Sunday in June of 1990. My first service here was actually a Wednesday night service. We moved the day after Memorial Day, my wife and four of our children. Moved here the day after Memorial Day. We loaded the trucks on Memorial Day. Moved here the day after. Had a Wednesday night midweek Bible study, had a Friday night graduation service for the Old Faith Christian School. And that was it. We closed the doors to the school. And then Sunday, the first Sunday in June, was when I started here on Sundays as the pastor. When I came to this church, I came to an independent fundamental Baptist church. The men who met with me, and I believe the people who voted for my coming here, would not have met with me, would never have voted for me if I hadn't been an independent fundamental Baptist man. I don't think the church would have voted for anything else. That's what I came to, an independent fundamental Baptist church. That's where I want to end. That's where I want this church to end. Now, unless you get tired of me and send me on my way, I believe I'll be the last church I believe I'll be the last pastor this church has. I believe Jesus could come at any time. Well, this thing's just, I mean, it's just, and I know we've said it before, but it just seems like the world's just setting itself up so perfectly. Or the one world and the introduction of the Antichrist and all of that. But we don't know that. There may be a pastor to follow me. There may be somebody coming down the road. And we have no. And if I do turn it over to somebody else someday, if Jesus comes, one or the other, if I turn it over to somebody else or if Jesus comes in the air, you know what I want? I want Jesus to find when He comes? Or you know what kind of church I want to turn over to somebody that follows me? The same kind of church that I took. An independent fundamental Baptist church. I believe that's what God would have us do. And one of the most difficult tasks in this day is to keep it from becoming contemporary in nature. Very difficult. Now, I'm talking about that on a night when we're dressed like this. Here I am in my polo shirt, you know. Very, very difficult in this day and age. We live and we move and we minister in a very changing, mobile, volatile society that is extremely contemporary. And I'm going to tell you what people are finding out. It's like I told you a few weeks ago about coming back from Washington, D.C. to Chicago on the airplane after being at Brother Jeff Owens' church. And the man who took the last seat on the plane, I was so hoping that I had the only empty seat between me and the guy on the aisle. But that last guy gets on, you know, and you know where he's coming. You know, and he comes and sits down and he's jabbering when he enters the row, and he jabbered until we got off the plane. And for 2 hours, he ran his mouth nonstop. I even acted like I was asleep, put my head on the wall of the airplane, and I wasn't asleep, but I acted like it, opened my mouth, you know, and acted like I was asleep. He started jabbering to the guy on the other side. He just kept up the conversation. He just went, and then when I finally gave it up, he just, oh, listen, he cussed, he used the Lord's name in vain. He was drinking whiskey the whole way. He was talking about his Baptist pastor friend that goes to the strip joints with him and how he goes. He prays to Jesus. And you know what? People are finding out that kind of Christianity is everywhere. It's a contemporary Christianity. It's unbelievable. Who was I talking to? Oh, I was talking to a man this morning. And he said, everywhere, all these people I'm meeting and where I work, he said, you know, they cuss like sailors and they live immoral and they drink, but they're all saved. They're all Christians. It's a contemporary Christianity. It's a Christianity that's contemporary with the world. I don't find that kind of Christianity in my Bible. And I don't believe God is pleased with that kind of Christianity. Truth of the matter is, Christ has called the church out of the world, yet to stay in the world in order to reach the world while not becoming like the world. That's all found in John chapter 17. That high priestly prayer of Jesus in the garden, all found in that prayer. And Jesus prays to those ends. He said, Lord, I brought them out, but I want them to stay in, and I want them to go to the world, reach the world, but not I want them to become like the world. A contemporary Christianity in the essence of what the world does for entertainment and so forth and so on is not the kind of Christianity that is the Christianity of the Bible. Unfortunately, instead of the church reaching the world, the world is reaching into the church, and I think to a greater degree in this day and age than ever before. Now, I mean, you sit in services like Brother Ryberg said last week. Believe me, friend, I teach at a pretty good independent Baptist college, and I've seen the kids text messaging each other during the classes and stuff. But with this mobile phone stuff and all that stuff, it's incredible. It's opened up unbelievable avenues for people, and a lot of them are not good. This is reflected in contemporary music, in contemporary dress, in contemporary preaching, in contemporary philosophy of ministry. Don't take the message of the Bible to the people who need it. Go to the people who are out of church, find out what they want in the church, and design a church ministry that's the kind that they want. Well, what kind of church did you want when you were unsaved? If they'd asked me, I'd have said none. I don't find that in the Word of God. A contemporary Christianity, that's not the kind of church that I came to 18 years ago. That's not the kind of church that I want to leave to somebody else who comes after me. That's not the kind of church, if Jesus comes in the air, I want Him to find on this corner. And folks, the direction that the tree leans is the direction that the tree falls. So my question tonight is, which way is the tree leaning? Faith Baptist Church began in this community 39 years ago, and it started an independent fundamental Baptist church. That's how it started. It took a stand on a position of separation, both ecclesiastically and personally. Tom Smith was the first pastor. And I forget how long Brother Smith was here. I think maybe 3 years, 71, 72, something like that. When he turned it over to Gary Martin, he turned over to Brother Martin an independent fundamental Baptist church. He didn't change it. Gary Martin was a graduate of Tom Malone School in Pontiac, Michigan. Gary Martin was here. It was during Gary Martin's ministry that somebody had the foresight from Fairmont Avenue in Kankakee to purchase 8 acres of land on Old Armor Road up here. And from talking to some of you folks that have been here for years and years, back when this was a 2-lane road, and when the bridge going over the overpass over here was 1 lane, and you had to wait till somebody came across before you went over. That's when they purchased this ground, a wasteland. That's all it was. Now, a lot has changed in the 18 years I've been here. All that we see when we drive west down this road right here, almost all of it exclusively is new since I've been here in 18 years. There's stoplights in every direction now. You see how long it takes you to get from one side of town to the other. It's unbelievable. And more new buildings going up all the time. Kind of a growing area. Gary Martin, during his ministry, somebody had the foresight to see out here and purchase 8 acres of land. And my goodness, was the providence of God ever involved in that matter? You talk about profile. You talk about location, location, location. We've got it and have had it all these years. Gary Martin turned it over to Bob Gray in 1976, when Gary Martin turned the church over to Bob Gray. Bob Gray took from Gary Martin an independent fundamental Baptist church. Bob Gray was an independent fundamental Baptist preacher, still is today. Down in Texas. Handed over in 1980 to Tim Starr. Tim Starr was an independent fundamental Baptist pastor. He took an independent fundamental Baptist church. That's the kind of church Bob Gray handed to Tim Starr, his successor. And then after 10 years in 1990, Tim Starr handed the church, if you will, to me. I took an independent fundamental Baptist church from Tim Starr. During Tom Smith's ministry, as best I can tell, the tree leaned the right direction. And during Gary Martin's ministry, as best I can tell, the tree leaned the right direction. And during Bob Gray's ministry, as best I can tell, the tree leaned the right direction. And during Tim Starr's ministry, as best as I can tell, the tree leaned the right direction. And for these 18 years, by the grace of God, this thing's been leaning the right direction. And that's a constant concern of mine. Which way is the tree leaning? Which way is the tree leaning? Because it's going to fall the direction that it leans. Whichever way it's slanted, that's where it's going to fall. And I've been here almost double the length of any other pastor God has given us. 18 years here. Brother Starr was here 10. Nobody else was here longer than 4. 4 and a half. And I want to tell you something. The larger it gets, and I've talked to people and said, and people have said, well, ran this and Bob Gray's time and this. And I don't know that we had the largest crowd this church has ever had. It may be the largest crowd this church has ever had. But I want to tell you something, friend. That's not what's important to me. What's more important to me is not the size. It's what direction are we leaning? I mean that. I've said that for 18 years. I am not worried about size. I'm far more concerned about what direction we're leaning. Because the direction we're leaning is how we're going to fall. The larger the church gets, the more necessary it becomes to really keep a close eye on this thing, the more difficult it becomes to keep it independent, fundamental Baptist, because there's so much pull to contemporary ways. I think one of the reasons is the preponderance of peer pressure. There are so many contemporary ministries. So many. And sometimes they call here, and what time is your contemporary service? 13 o'clock. I don't know. We don't have one. But that's what they want. What time is your contemporary service? Because the truth of the matter is, the vast majority, if you throw all the denominations into a bucket, into a great big vat together, all the preponderance of ministries have gone contemporary. It's the pull of this age. I remember some years ago, we were still in the old building, had that old sign. Remember the old sign? And an old board sign out front. And I came up Kennedy Boulevard over here one day, and great big old sign, great big old billboard. College Church, proudly and excitedly, excited to announce the beginning of the contemporary service at 11 o'clock. So for the soul. Traditional service at 9, I think it was. Contemporary service at 11 o'clock. And I think Donna Griffin was doing the sign in those days, and I wrote up a sign and gave it to her. I said, we are excited to announce the continuation of old-fashioned traditional services. Put that on the board. I was at home on a Wednesday afternoon getting ready for the Wednesday night service, and I heard the phone ring, and a good pastor's wife screens the calls a lot of times. I heard my wife answer the phone and say, oh, just a minute, she came, little feet running upstairs, you know. And I heard this, it's Reverend Boone. Boone, he was the pastor at the College Church. I said, no kidding. I said, hello. He said, this is Reverend Boone. I said, how you doing? He said, my brother, have we offended you? I said, no, not at all. Have I offended you? He said, well, some of our people have seen your sign about your traditional services. And I said, some of our folks have seen your sign about your contemporary services. He said, well, brother, we just believe there's a clientele of people in the area that want a contemporary service. And I said, we believe there's a clientele of people in the area who don't want anything to do with a contemporary service. And nothing at all. I don't go out of my way to be a thorn in their flesh. But honestly, that's how it is. It's the preponderance of peer pressure. All these churches are going to these contemporary services. And I mean contemporary to the core. And so it becomes harder to keep a church, an old, independent, fundamental Baptist church. You stick out like a sore thumb. I think sometimes it becomes hard because of the presence of contemporary family members. Some of you folks deal with that. Some parents have contemporary children. They get pulled away from the old, independent, fundamental way by contemporary children. Contemporary children. Pull them away from the old path. And that's not it. Cousins or whatever. It's hard. So my concern is, look, which way is the tree leaning? Because that's the kind of place I was handed 18 years, and that's the kind of place I want Jesus to find if He comes and I'm still here, or if He stays in heaven and I turn this over to somebody else someday when I get too old to do it, and you get somebody else. I want it to be independent, fundamental Baptist in nature, keeping it straight. If it leans contemporary, it will fall contemporary. Now I'm going to tell you the two most dangerous areas when it comes to a church going contemporary. Number one is music. Without doubt, without any argument, it's music. And I appreciate the music of this church. And you hear me say often after a special, that's safe. I mean that. It's safe. That kind of music's safe. It protects a church from becoming contemporary. The music ministry. The second ministry is the youth ministry, including school, youth group, so forth and so on. Contemporary ways can get into the church through the youth of the church. And as I said earlier, parents don't have enough fortitude to stand up against it and say, no, we're not going that direction. So that's the things that I'm watching out for more than anything. Those of you, I think they were handing out the school packets tonight for pre-registration for next year. There's an open letter to all the parents who are contemplating enrolling students, re-enrolling or enrolling. It's a letter to every parent. It's the first time I've ever done it. About a 2.5-page letter. You need to read it. You need to read it real close. You know, I've heard it said often, you know, about the bus ministry. The bus ministry is not for everybody to work in. And I agree with that. You've got to be a nut to work in the bus ministry. Amen? It's not for everybody. The music ministry is not for everybody. And that's true. There's a reason why we don't ask some of you to be in the choir. Amen? And the same thing is true about other ministries. And I'll tell you what, the Christian school ministry is the same. It's not for everybody. There's a commitment there. There's a commitment there. And I'm going to do everything in my power while I'm here through the ministry of the school to make it so that we don't become contemporary in nature through our school. Through the youth. The music or the youth. Now, folks, that's all I'm asking tonight. Which way is the tree leaning? That's the question that I ask myself often. That's the question I look at. Which way is the tree leaning? We come to this time of the year. 1st of June, we celebrate the church anniversary. I celebrate my coming here as pastor of the church. Which way is the tree leaning? And we'll say something. Those who care about the next generation care about which way the tree is leaning. If you're not concerned about which way the tree is leaning, that means you don't give a rip about those coming behind us. Because if we're not careful, friend, there won't be anything left for them. It'll be a contemporary church gone. I come over the overpass and I see what God has done here. Do you stop and realize what has happened on this corner just in the way of buildings? If you were here in the old days, you came over that overpass, can you see that old square church building? And that old gymnasium. And you come over that overpass now, and I do it every time I'm on that overpass, that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at those, I'm thinking, my goodness, dear Lord. The village has to be happy. They've got to be happy. Got to be. That's not my biggest concern. My bigger concern is not the buildings. My bigger concern is, which way is the tree leaning? Which way is the tree leaning? Because the direction it leans is the direction it's going to fall, and when it falls, it lies. It's there. The church, we've had 39 years as a church ministry in this area. And I want us to have another 40 if Jesus stays in heaven and beyond. And I need to be recommitted, and you need to be recommitted to making sure that tree stays straight. That it leans the right direction. Well, you're picky. I'm trying to get the tree in the right direction. If it's going to lean, let's lean it to the right. Does that make sense to y'all? If it's going to lean, let's lean it to the right, not to the left. Lean it to old-fashioned traditionalism, not this new contemporary stuff. That's what I inherited. That's what I want to pass on someday. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Thank you for listening tonight. God bless you. Dear Father, I rejoice in this day and what it means to many of us, Lord. I rejoice that there are many new faces in our crowd tonight. And by your grace, dear God, we want to continue to reach to the community and see many more come to Christ. And yet, dear Lord, we want to do it in the right way, leaning the right direction. We want to go reach the world, bring them to Christ. A part of this world, but not like it. God, help us to do that. Help us to be faithful. Help us as people and pastor and staff to commit to making sure the tree leans the right direction. Now, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just a question or two tonight. Is there anybody here who would say, Brother Angel, I'm not saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I know I didn't talk about that tonight. But let me just ask you that question. Have you ever been what the Bible calls born again? Are you saved? If not, can I pray for you tonight? Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved, and I am concerned about that. I don't understand it all. Nobody, or maybe I've heard it. Maybe somebody's talked to me about it. Maybe not. Well, at least raise my hand and say, I'm not saved, but I am concerned about it. Would you lift your hand? Let me just pray for you tonight, not by name, but just by your uplifted hand. Anybody like that? Not sure that I'm saying. See a couple of little children's hands. God bless you. Dear Father, I pray that you'll be with us. And I pray for these little ones. I thank you, dear Lord, for working on their hearts, and pray that you'll even now begin to draw them to Christ. And I pray, dear God, for this church body, and I pray that you'll help us to lean the right direction, to be what we ought to be for your honor and glory in this day and age. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, ladies. If you need to be baptized tonight, now's the time to come. If you need to be saved, now's the time to come. Welcome. Let's do our part to make sure the tree leans in the right direction. Moment.